get your films on with the Blurs.
Once an idea has taken hold of the brain, it's almost impossible to eradicate.
Unpacking Movies has never been more spot on, woke, fire, and just plain lit.
They are lit all the time.
So if you're unsure whether or not to plop down some cash for a film, check out the Blurs.
When a man with a 45 meets a man with a rifle, the man with a pistol is a dead man.
Brando's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
You really only need to hang, mean bastard. But mean bastard, you need to hang.
Don't say you weren't warned. Ridiculous. Here's Brandon and Jeff.
Hello, and welcome to episode 71 of the Film Blurs. I'm your host, Uncle Jeffrey, a.k.a. J. Otis Dynamite, a.k.a. Revengeman Button, a.k.a. He Who Remains, a.k.a. Petty Ruxpin, a.k.a. Jobu Tupaki, a.k.a. this motherfucker, a.k.a. the Black Giovanni Ribisi, a.k.a. government name, Jeff Stewart. And I'm joined here, as always, with my friend and co-host.
Hello. Happy New Year, motherfuckers. It's Brandon Norwood, a.k.a. Hero Protagonist, a.k.a. the true father of Joe's and Kanye's kids. Thanks for the $200K a month, nigga. Thank you for the McMansion. Oh, yeah. What's that? What's that, kids? Kanye's coming back around? What? You want to spit on him? Go ahead, kids. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I want to have a political discussion. I want to have a roundtable with Joe and Kanye and see what that's like. That's gotta be
fucking
amazing.
Joe's back in prison. Kanye out here losing all of his money. Some of that's coming to me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Every time you open your mouth, I get paid. Keep digging yourself deeper, nigga. AKA Poppy Chulo. Still giving all the women in your life enemas with Molly in it. AKA the Glizzy King. What do you say to a grown man eating a glizzy?
Hey yo,
aka Mr. Krusty. Let me put some animal crackers in your hoo-ha, ma. While Steven Tyler sings. While your dad serenades us. AKA
Lethal Protector.
AKA my biggest pet peeve is sports because I don't like seeing grown men sweat on each other. AKA Ruff McGruff. I'll blow off your fucking kneecaps and steal your money. AKA, these nuts is dodging the fucking knife from the AI robot. AKA, B-Wood the Magnificent.
It's the Steven Tyler that gets me. Because, like, I never thought about that until you mentioned it, mentioned it.
Yeah. It was last Christmas. My brother had some friends over. We're all sitting around watching Armageddon. And my brother pointed out, he's like, so Ben Affleck is shoving animal crackers into Liv Tyler's pussy while her dad is singing, I don't want to close my eye. That's where Mr. Krusty came from because, you know, he likes it crusty. You know what I mean? I got to put them animal crackers in there. I want it chafing, ma. I want it to come out all ashy and rusty.
But also that begs a different question. How many children of famous musicians have fucked to their parents' songs?
I ain't gonna lie though, that song's a banger.
No, it is a banger. It's a banger. It's just when you look at the what's going around in that scene and you actually think about it, it's creepy as fuck.
It's fucked up. I mean, it's Michael Bay, baby.
Michael Bay can do whatever he wants, man. I'm a Michael Bay apologist.
The 80s and the 90s.
They were different. They were fucking different. They were different.
Oh, man. Because it's wild to me nobody stopped and thought about that, right? Nobody was just like, oh, wait a minute.
It's like, maybe we should put this song somewhere else. Or maybe... they should.
Yeah, don't use that song. And also, why animal crackers?
I don't know, because that's what they had in Crafty. That's what they had. That's just like, it's
what's the funny if they had fucking hot dogs and he like dipped it in mustard and started like rubbing it around her mouth.
No, that's
corn dogs.
They had to. You know, that's product placement right there. No. You know, fucking Frank's hot dogs. Fucking whatever.
Ma, let me tip fuck you with this hot dog, Ma. Wait, are you talking about your dick? No, I'm talking about an actual hot dog, and I got a corn dog.
Oh,
just came out the oven. It's super hot.
Oh my God.
Might give you some burns, some third degree burns.
Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year. This is where we are. 2023. Starting off with a bang. This, you know, I'm watching him on screen. He is about to pass out. He's laughing so hard. This nigga looks like a tomato. He's so red.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit. All right.
Before we continue, please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Rate us 5 stars on all the fucking platforms. Like and subscribe. Do all that shit, man. So we could level up. Keep leveling up.
That's right. I don't even know where to go. I don't even know where to go from there. All right. So what's up?
So let's start with some of the most asinine fucking news I've ever seen in my life. So I read about this a while ago about these two dudes who put a lawsuit against Universal in place because Ana de Armas wasn't in Yesterday, but she was in the trailer and she was edited out of the final movie. Well, the judge sided with these two fucking dumbasses.
Wait.
I shit you not.
No, wait. Let's take it back. Were they producers on the film?
No, they were just two random Ana de Armas fans.
So they spent their own money.
Yes.
To hire a lawyer.
Yes.
To sue a studio because of a trailer for a movie that no one's seen.
I wouldn't say that, but I'm saying trailers always have stuff that's not used in the movie. You know what I mean? That's from the beginning of time. They shoot teaser trailers are almost proof of concept trailers, right? I don't understand why you're going to sue. Like they said, it's false advertising. I'm like,
who is that?
Sets a dangerous precedent because now let's say I shoot a movie and Chris Evans is in it. And now I got to go and edit out Chris Evans's character just because it just doesn't work for the movie. Now me and my entire company, the studio, can be sued because a bunch of people got up in their feelings because Chris Evans wasn't in the movie.
Hey, who has that much fucking time, right, to sue over a movie you have no vested interest in besides the fact that you really like Ana de Armas? And we know why you like her, because you're probably spanking to her, right? Like, you know, no offense to her. She's a wonderful actress. But like that sounds like some incel fanboy shit right there.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Right. And if that's going to happen, then Robert Rodriguez, I'm coming for your ass, because that trailer for Predators where Adrian Brody has like 18 different Predator lasers trained on him wasn't in the movie. And Robert Rodriguez said it wasn't going to be in the movie. He just thought it was cool and shot it.
But that's my thing. There's like million. You don't know how many times I went to go see a movie and there's some shit in there where it wasn't in there. Right. But I was just like, all right, well, I guess that was a trailer only thing. I'm not coming out of a movie and being like, oh, you know what? I'm going to hire a lawyer, spend my own money and sue these motherfuckers for false advertising.
Get the fuck out of here. False advertising.
Yeah, and I want to know who the fuck the judge is. Hold on. I'm trying to bring up the article now. Because I read this last night and I was just like, this is just stupid with a capital S. And I mean stupid as in STOOIPD. Stupid.
It's the amount of time and effort that would go into doing something like suing That's what me really makes me angry. Like, people are going to be stupid.
And you know what, man? If I was the judge, I would honestly throw it out. And I'd look at these two. I'd be like, so you're wasting my time. I got a million other cases I could do. I'm throwing this shit out. And the judge is really going to side with these two people, these two knuckleheads.
I mean, what
ethnic? It's a U.S. district judge named Stephen Wilson.
Like, I want to kind of look up Stephen Wilson and see what kind of other bad calls he's made.
Yeah, well, I'm going to make sure wherever he presides in, I'm going to make sure I stay away from that general area, because goddamn, if I spit on the ground, I'm not trying to go to prison for spitting.
Like, so did they? So they got money, right? They won money. The article just came up with a cert. Like, I hate Variety when you send me stuff through text, because it just goes to the search. Let me just type in yesterday.
Yeah. So, or Anna De Armas lawsuit.
There we go.
Yeah. This shit is just insane to me. I was just like, how though? You're trying to sell a movie, not the actor in the. What the fuck is this shit, man? First off, these motherfuckers don't know how movies are made, right? Let's just put it that way.
Right, right. I'm reading this article. It just seems fucking stupid. The plaintiffs, I'm going to read Connor Wolf of Maryland and Peter Michael Rosa of San Diego County, California, each paid $3.99 to rent yesterday on Amazon Prime.
They didn't even go see it in the fucking theater. That's what makes it worse.
They are seeking at least $5 million as representatives of a class action. Fuck you. But yeah. Connor Wolf, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck your kids. Fuck your life. And Peter Michael Rosa, fuck you. Fuck your parents. Fuck your neighbors. This is the dumbest. Oh my God. Oh, that's so fucking dumb.
Dog, if you have to sue over $4, you have to stop and ask, what am I doing with my life?
And see, right? this is why people don't trust the U.S. justice system, right?
Oh, no. Yeah, exactly.
Because you can sue over some bullshit like this. You know what? Give them their $3.99 back, Amazon. Universal, give them $3.99, because that's what they fucking paid.
Oh, with the tax, it'll probably be like $4.50.
Right?
This sets such a dangerous precedent, because cutting together a trailer is an art, right?
Right.
Like trailers, like a good trailer is a great trailer. Like, I could point out trailers where I was like, this is art right here.
Right.
Now the art of cutting trailers is going to die too. I was just like, yo, everything in the movie business is being killed by laziness and stupidity now.
Right. So first we had the Snyder Cut, which was bullshit in the first place, but you know, whatever, you bend over backwards. So this is collateral damage from the Snyder Cut, because now all of these fucking small-dicked, fucking too much time having motherfuckers are out there fucking thinking that their opinions matter. And because they get the slightest slight, or even perceived slight, they fucking want to sue and go to the internet, and everything's a fucking cause.
Well, let me read this. Richard Curtis, the screenwriter, explained in detail that her character was cut because test audiences didn't like the idea of Patel's character straying away from his primary love interest played by Lily James. And I'm like, you know what? If it makes the movie tighter, fine. I've seen the movie, and honestly, I don't even see where you could put that in at.
So it was a story driven fucking
decision.
So fuck you. Fuck you. Oh my God.
This is how we get the Amazing Spider-Man and Spider-Man 3, where there's like 18 different storylines that never come together. It's because of shit like this.
Connor Wolfe, W-O-U-L-F-E of Maryland, and Peter Michael Rosa, R-O-S-Z-A of San Diego. Fuck both of you. God damn.
I hope you know everybody is looking at y'all and laughing hard. Like, so hard. Like, probably Ana de Armas will probably read this and be like, oh, this is fucking stupid.
Right? This is like that is one of the dumbest things I've ever, like, that makes the uproar over the Snyder Cut seem intelligent.
Yeah.
And thoughtful. Because now this
is. Yeah, because at least there I was like, okay, as stupid as that was, I was like, well, at least they're trying to get like a different cut of a movie, like right. The director's original intention. Like, I can see the reasoning, but this shit, I'm just like, seriously? That's what Blu-rays are for. Buy the fucking Blu-ray and watch the deleted scenes.
Right. And well, here's the thing. No one asked them did they like the movie? Right? So like
I'm sorry. Look, listen. There's actors I like, but I'm not paying money to watch one actor, right? You can go on YouTube and watch your favorite clips from favorite movies for any actor or actress you want to see.
So that's like, all right. So I, you know what? If I went to a Tom Cruise movie or a Brad Pitt movie or a Denzel Washington movie, and the trailer made it seem like they were in the entire movie and they were only in it for like 30 seconds. Yeah. All right. I'd be pissed, but I'm not suing. Right.
I would rather somebody sue who's a Brad Pitt fan go and sue Tarantino for there's not that much Brad Pitt in Inglourious Basterds, because that I can understand, because I'm like, yeah, I get it. Y'all sold it on Brad Pitt and he's right. Like only in it for 40 minutes. So that I understand. However, right. She wasn't. I guarantee you she was only because the trailers I've seen for this movie, she wasn't even in any of the trailers I've fucking seen of this movie.
And she wasn't top. She was not even top billed.
No, she wasn't.
Right. Like if I go in, like if someone's top billed and I go in and they're not in the movie, cut excised, then yeah, I'll be pissed. You know, I might whatever like that. If you're top billed, if I go in for a Denzel Washington movie and Denzel Washington's not in it, yeah, I'd be mad. But if I'm going in for a movie about the Beatles, right, and the Beatles are in it, you know, like the Beatles music or whatever the concept, whoever's top billed is in it, then I can't I can't be mad that they excised a B storyline. It's a B storyline.
That's not even a B. That's not even a B storyline. That's like a C or a D storyline.
Fuck.
That's like a little. I guarantee you, she probably has what I want to say 10, 15 minutes,
if that. Because here's the thing that they don't understand. If you can cut out a whole entire character, that means a whole entire character could be cut out. Right? You know? That's the thing. Right?
And Jeff, how many times do we watch movies where we're like, oh, this whole storyline could be cut out? So yeah. The fact that they had the foresight to be like, yeah, let's cut this out and make the movie better.
Right.
And even the audiences saw it and was like, yeah, you could get rid of that, make the movie much better. And you know what, man? I saw it yesterday, and I don't even hate it. I don't have any strong opinions on it. It's fine for what it is, right?
Right, right. I wish I could find something to sue them for.
Yes, because this is.
I hope they litter.
This is dangerous too.
It's dumb, and it's once again, it's the inmates are running the asylum.
The case will now proceed to discovery and a motion for class certification.
This is fucking, oh God.
So if does this have a jury? Is this going to jury or is this just the judge ruling over this? Because if there's a jury, I would sit down. If I'm a jury member on this, I'd be like, can we all agree how stupid this is? And can we not grant them what they want? Because this is a waste of everybody's time.
I don't know how like class action works. I think there might be a jury, but I don't know. I mean, there's got to be at least one lawyer. My dude who listens to the show, Dan Brotman, he's a lawyer. Holler at us. Let us know.
This is fucking stupid on so many levels. Like, I can't believe I read this last night and I was just like, come on, man.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That makes me.
And it sounds like she was only in it for a scene, because reading the article, it just says like it only talks about the one scene. It don't talk about like a whole fucking plot line. He was only supposed to serenade her on the Late Show with James Corden. And that's all they say. They don't talk about any other scene with her in there.
Like, and fuck these two guys for making me side with a studio. Right? Universal sought to throw out the lawsuit, arguing that the movie trailers are entitled to broad protection under the First Amendment. The studio's lawyers argue that a trailer is an artistic expressive work that tells a 3-minute story conveying the theme of the movie and thus be considered non-commercial speech.
Bro, it's supposed to sell you on the movie, not the people in the movie. The people in the movie are supposed to bring to life whatever characters they're portraying. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you get into a larger question, but the fact that these two assholes who I wish nothing but bad things for these guys going forward, because it seems dumb. And like, are these two friends? How do you find another asshole who was like, you know what? The thing that yesterday was missing, Ana de Armas.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, how did these two even find each other? They live on opposite one lives side, on the West Coast, one lives on the East Coast. Come on, man.
Reddit.
That's thousands of miles.
It's fucking Reddit.
Apart.
They were in a Ana de Armas subreddit for chronic masturbators who like to jerk off to Ana de Armas trailers and then watch the movie subsequently. That's how they found each other. They found each other through the internet. It's a love story.
I hope in real life they're getting clowned by everybody who knows them.
Like, how do you like, what cocktail party do you go to?
I don't know.
I was like, Connor, what have you been up to lately? Oh, I've been I'm suing Universal Pictures because there was a trailer for a movie called Yesterday about the Beatles, and Ana de Armas was in the trailer. And then when I went on my Fire Stick to watch on Amazon Prime, when I paid my $4 or my mom's $4, Ana de Armas was not in the movie. And I felt violated. And so,
can I just ask, though, that means now anybody can sue if the trailer's banging and then the movie sucks, right? Like, let's say right. I make a movie in outer space and everybody's blown away by the trailer, but then the movie comes out, it's not good, whatever. It happens, right? Everybody puts out like a stinker every once in a while. That means motherfuckers can sue because the movie's bad. I'm like, yo, I watch 350 movies a year. Do you know how many bad movies I sit through? I am not going to put all my time, energy, and effort into suing over every disappointment that comes from a fucking movie. It's like the catchphrase of this show, it's just fucking movies. Like, you watch it and you move on with your life.
I can name 15 movies that I've seen this week that I could sue for if this is the fucking... So if this is where we're going, let's talk about what was it? Infinite. I want to sue Universal for Infinite, or Paramount for Infinite. I want to sue I want to sue Brad Pitt personally for Bullet Train.
Can I sue Marvel for Multiverse of Madness?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Top of the list. Top of the list.
Like, you see how stupid this is, guys?
Right.
Like, I hope you understand where me and Jeff are coming from now.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is 2023, huh?
All right. Well, let's move on. I don't know if you guys remember, but we talked in September. It was like late August, early September. We talked about this dumbass film critic named Lena Wilson, a.k.a. Nepotism Baby Number One, a.k.a. White Privilege Embodied, a.k.a. Gentrifier Supreme. She's back. And she's working for a big trade, right? Because there's four big trades. You got Deadline, which is meh. You got Variety. You got The Hollywood Reporter, and you have The Wrap. I don't know why The Wrap hired this dumbass, but they hired her. And a lot of movies this past in 2022 have taken the piss out of rich people. You know why? Because motherfuckers are poor and everybody's tired of getting fucked over by rich people. She writes a whole fucking op-ed about why Hollywood needs to stop dunking on rich people. And I'm just like, A, you come from wealth. A rich family. B, your whole career is built on nepotism. Three, you were shamed so badly that you ran off of Twitter, you ran off of TikTok, and you ran off of Facebook. Like, you deleted all your socials and you decided to write this bullshit.
Well, she couldn't go after the blacks or the LGBTQ plus community anymore. So now she's going after
the
poors.
The poors don't like me making my fucking $50 million a year for writing bad reviews that have no critical analysis.
Right, and like here's the thing, and if you come from wealth. Just shut the fuck up in general, just shut the fuck up. No one wants to hear your opinion because your opinion does not reflect my life. Right.
Her critical, like she uses Triangle of Sadness, The Menu, and Glass Onion, right? Because those are the three big movies that really took the piss out of rich people,
right?
And I read the first three paragraphs, which was specifically a Glass Onion. I was just like, oh, you're just fucking stupid, like just all around stupid.
One of her biggest complaints is that Glass Onion was not as good as Knives Out. Simply because there wasn't a poor minority as the central character.
And how disgusting is that, right?
Right? It's like, I mean, we're not all poor. We're not all immigrants, for one thing.
And that just feeds into the stereotype of that's how Hollywood wants us, is to be suffering. Just right. Every minority has to suffer.
Right. Like, it's not authentic unless a fucking brown person's crying.
Maybe that's why she really hated Bodies, 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 huh?
Right. Because it's like, oh, there's too many darkies here who have wealth. Like, the richest chick in the movie is black.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. I don't know. There seems to be some sort of through line.
How is she still writing?
Because she, I can tell you how she's still writing. Because she's enough of a marginalized demographic, because she does identify as, as queer. She's enough of a marginalized person being, a queer female. But she's also rich enough and powerful enough and, like, socially media savvy enough where they know if they don't hire her, she's going to make such a stink of it that, you know, it's not going to be worth it for them not to hire her.
Yeah, but her past came to bite her in the ass, because when that whole shit broke out with bodies, 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 all of her former classmates came out the woodwork to post about how toxic she is, how she almost drove somebody to suicide. Like, it was bad.
Right. I mean, it's the same. It's sort of the same thing with what happened with Lena Dunham on Girls, right?
What white women named Lena, huh?
Well, there we go. Connect the dots.
And look, this is why a lot of people online make fun of white feminism, because they're very concerned about just them and a certain, not even all white feminists. It's like you have to make a certain, you have to be in a high, a certain social class.
Right.
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 And you have to be specifically white.
Yeah. That's. I don't want anyone to think that we're beating up on her because she is, you know, a queer white female. It has nothing to do with her.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's the fucking nepotism,
right?
Honestly, the disgusting racism, honestly, right, that underlies all this shit.
Right. It's the fact that, you know,
the privilege too.
She's we can only clown rich people if we're doing it as a lower entity than them. We can't clown rich people as rich people.
Right, right. Right. That's what I'm getting. I see rich people all the time, right? There's rich people all the time. I'm in New York all the time. You see rich people all the time. And the rich people I encounter usually mind their own business. Like, they flaunt their wealth, but not to the point where it pisses you off, right?
Right. Like, more importantly than anything, it's not her wealth and everything like that. It's the privilege.
Yes, that's what I said. The privilege
of
that,
like,
she flaunts.
That you think that you can talk about, you know, minorities poor people or anything like that with no sort of frame of reference. Right? Like, it's like, well, I know what's good for you. That's that privilege. Like, I'm here. I'm an ally. It's like, are you really an ally?
I mean, because
I've never seen you at any marches.
Saw that TikTok video, right? The TikTok video I sent you of everybody was asking her, how'd you get your job at the New York Times? And she's just like, one, I worked for it. Two, I'm just that good. And I was just like,
And see, my dad's the editor.
Yeah, she left that out, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you worked for it. All right. No, listen, I worked hard to get into press screenings. I worked hard to get the access that I got, right? I climbed up the ranks.
Yeah. So
I was in the trenches.
Like, so, yeah, like, working hard to Brandon looks different than working hard to this chick, you know? Working hard for her was waking up.
Yeah, right?
Right.
Dad, I need a job. You want to write? What do you like? I kind of like movies. All right.
And, you know, like, and here's a, you know, there's an article in Variety about nepotism and stuff like that that just got released this week.
Oh, no, that was Vulture.
Vulture, that's right. And here's the thing. I don't inherently have a problem with nepotism because everybody in any industry, right, there's going to be some sort of nepotism because as a parent, you want to provide for your children. You want them to live a better life, right?
Right.
The thing is, you had better be fucking amazing, right? Like, Spielberg's daughter directs a short film. God bless her. Good for her. But it better be fucking amazing.
I saw that John David was in there, and I got to really separate him from the pack. Because I first saw him on Ballers, right?
That TV show. I didn't realize he was Denzel's son until, like, fucking the second season.
And you know why? he was going into auditions and they straight up asked him, are you related to Denzel? You kind of look like him. And he said, no. He didn't even tell his mom or dad that he was acting or wanted to become an actor because he knew people would hold that shit against him.
Right.
And it's already, he even said, he's like, it's hard being black, but then imagine me flaunting like, oh, I'm Denzel's kid. I like, it'd be a double-edged sword against me. Right. So I was like, okay, I respect you. You actually crawled out of the gutter to where you're at.
Right. And I respect that. And like I said, nepotism shouldn't exist, but it does, whatever. But if you're going to engage in it, you had better be the fucking best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So like, she obviously is not the best.
Oh no. She's not even a good writer, dog.
Right. You know, where's her podcast?
Speaking of, oh man, I had the thought. Thought just dissipated.
I don't know what it was. Was it still on the subject or was something else?
It was part of the subject. It dissipated though.
That's all right. It was so heated over this bullshit.
I thought we were done with this chick, honestly.
I thought she was done. I thought she was canceled, but you know.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Speaking of nepotism, let's transition into this. It's award season, uh-huh. And right now everybody's trying to get a feel of where the Academy's at, because the Academy has a bunch of members across every different discipline, directing, actors, cinematographers, producers, editors, all part of the Academy. Some dude talked to a few Academy members, and most of these motherfuckers are like, I can't name 5 films that were good this year. And everybody's like, wait, what? And the dude's like, yeah, the dude followed that. Because I read this tweet thread and everybody's right. Like, yeah. And then somebody who's part of the Academy was just like, it wasn't until I joined the Academy that I learned that most of the people who work in the industry and who are part of the Academy hate movies. They're only doing this for the glamour and the glitz, and that's it, to be important.
Really?
Like, so when bullshit like Green Book or some dumb shit, like, you know, all the dumb shit that wins Best Picture,
right?
That's because these motherfuckers don't care. And they don't watch the movies. They're like, you could find 5 dudes on Twitter. Like, this is the person, direct quote. They said, you could find 5 people on Twitter who saw every major movie across every major category to vote for the Academy Awards than 90% of the people who are Academy members. And I was just like, oh, so this whole thing is bullshit. So why do we even have the Oscars?
Right.
So that means I'm more eligible to vote in the Academy Awards than most of these motherfuckers, because I've seen a bunch of documentaries this past year. Right. I've seen a handful of foreign films. I've seen almost every awards movie this past year.
Well, the thing is, if you were in the Academy, you would take it serious and you would watch more in these categories that you haven't watched, so you could be fucking learned. I can't believe I used the word learned. So you could be versed and well read and real well researched, so you could actually do the fucking job.
And if you're an Academy member, like, those screenings come with the works, bro. Like, you got carte blanche. Like, I thought my guild was treated nicely. The guild I'm part of, I thought we were treated nicely. And then somebody invited me to an Academy, because most of the Academy screenings happen in New York and LA. Most of them right. in LA, but a good portion of them take place in New York too. Somebody invited me to an Academy screening in New York, and I was just like, oh, this is what this is like? Holy shit. And they're treating me like I'm fucking King Henry VIII reincarnated. I was like, what the fuck?
How do we get into the Academy? Like, what do we have to do?
You have to work on a movie or some shit like that. Like, I could be Spielberg's assistant. Like, let me be your assistant, Spielberg, and I'll work on like a couple of your movies so I could get invited. Or right. I could be a grip and be invited.
Really? Okay. So Yeah. I want to be a part of the Academy. I want to be an actual voter. Let's change the game. This is dumb.
Because that makes no fucking sense. I can't name. Are you fucking shitting me?
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, go back and listen to our last episode. I had 36 movies.
Yeah, I started
with like 10 honorable mentions.
I finally started updating my Letterboxd, right? Because I signed up for it like 10 years ago, but I barely fucking use it. I was like, let me start using this thing because this, these handwritten notes that I'm doing are not working for me. And like, I'm going through all the movies I've seen just this year, right? Fucking 162 movies this year. And these motherfuckers can't watch 10?
I just remember reading some of... Because every year, the Hollywood Reporter and Variety and all the trades will interview various members of the Academy, like producers, actors, editors, and get a feel of what's going to win. And every year, I read those and just get pissed. I'm just like... You motherfuckers are worse than general audiences sometimes. Like, goddamn. Like, yo, look, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but reading this, I'm like, you guys are fucking stupid.
Do we have any good news?
Like, it's a miracle that Parasite won Best Picture, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because one person saw it, and he just told the rest of them, just vote for this.
I mean, that's how it goes. Cause I remember reading that. It was like, yeah, I didn't see the movie, but people told me it was good. So I'm going to vote for it. And I was just like, oh, word. Okay.
Right. Right.
And reading what some people said about Dune, like one dude said, I saw Dune on IMAX. Like everybody told me to do. And I was like, I don't get it.
Well, that's fine. If you don't get it. I'm not judging anyone.
No. I can't remember exactly what they said because they went further.
Right.
But the more I read about what they said, I was just like, oh, you're fucking stupid. It's not even you didn't understand it. You're just trying to be a fucking asshole because it ain't some art shit.
Right. Right.
I mean, it is art shit.
Right. But it's not like it's not like close. that kind of art film.
Yeah, fucking.
I'm still mad.
If I need to go to sleep, that's what I'm put on. I feel like a geriatric watching that movie.
I fell asleep. Like, Brandon, we talked about this in whatever episode we did that on. I fell asleep during that movie 3 times. With the director there. Fuck him. And the actors there. I fell asleep in that fucking thing 3 times. Because that's how fucking boring it was. But it's on the top of everybody. Like, all these people want to seem like they're woke and or like they have some sort of class. Love this fucking movie. And I'm like, but do we watch the same movie? Because this is boring as shit.
I really hope either RRR or Decision to Leave wins. Mostly RRR. Mm-hmm. That's the movie that needs to win Best Foreign Film because like,
woof. Right. So like I guess you if you're new to the show, you know how we feel about the movie Close. And it's
Man, I feel like a geriatric watching that movie.
And it's not like it was it's good for the first half hour. Like you said, it's the best short it's a great short film.
Yeah, nigga.
It's a great short film. Right. Yeah, but yeah, fuck. So, do we have any good news? Do anything good happen?
No, that's it, man. What have you watched lately, Jeff?
What are you watching?
What have I watched lately? All right, let's get into it. So let's start with I have a fondness for watching movies that other people, namely the people who were involved in the movie, try to hide and get rid of and don't speak about.
Have you seen Don's Plum? I've been trying to find that motherfucker.
No, I haven't. That's next on the list. But I found Neo Ned.
The fuck is that?
Neo Ned stars Gabrielle Union and Hawkeye. I can't even think of that nigga's name right now.
Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner, right? Before I tell you what...
AKA fake born.
or not Tom Cruise.
Give me the cams. I need the cams.
And like I clown Jeremy Renner, but he's an okay actor. Yeah, I've never hated anything he's been in. You know, except for this.
We need a break from you, dog. We definitely need a break from you.
All right. So before I tell you about the premise of this movie, I want to tell you all the things surrounding it, right? So it came out in 2008. It played Tribeca. It won a whole bunch of awards, you know, during the circuit. Got distribution, all that good shit, you know. Neo Ned is about a neo-Nazi.
Ooh.
Who falls in love.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Is this when Where Hands Touch Part 2?
I don't know. It's like, so he falls in love with a black schizophrenic who thinks she's the embodiment of Hitler.
This is sort of a Where Hands Touch Part 2 then. Jesus Christ.
In a mental institution.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Woo! Woo, this is bad. This is like hilariously bad, right? So for one thing, it's the score, the way it's shot, the music, like even the transitions feel like an after school special, like an ABC 1985 special presentation came on at 3:45 right after you got out of school, right? That's what it feels like. Low rent, but it's got violence and it's got sex. We'll get to the sex scene.
Nah, I'm good on that.
And you know, it's got swearing in it, but it feels like it was a network TV show, a network movie. You know how in Tropic Thunder they
Robert Downey Jr.
Goes, "Well, you never go full retard." Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
Jeremy Renner went full retard.
No, he went full Nazi. Full retard / Nazi in this. Woo. He says nigger hard R so many times in this. It I think it was more in this movie than it was in Django. Like,
oh, fuck me.
It said so much that it actually lost all meaning to me. It is just remarkably bad, and you can't find it anywhere, right? It's not streaming anywhere.
I wonder why.
Right? Like, it's, you can't buy the, like, it was, you can't buy it on DVD except for if you go on eBay and pay an exorbitant amount. The only places to find this is like the dark web and your Uncle Carl's basement, right? Gabrielle Union is Gabrielle Union in it. Like, look, everyone had to start somewhere, right? He plays full like crazy in this. It's so... it's ridiculously bad and it's fucking hilarious. But the thing about it to me is this played at Tribeca. Right?
When did it come out?
2008.
Yeah, that was right when Tribeca was becoming an important festival. Because for the longest time, Tribeca was just like, oh, this is where, you know, you go to see some okay, mediocre movies.
Right, but this is to prove to me, like, another point, like, film festivals are fucking bullshit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, niggas catch the flu going to Sundance, walking up and down that mountain in, like, fucking 10 feet of snow. People are like, why don't you cover Sundance?
Like, yeah, like, it's like, oh, like, I always have people like, oh, don't you want to go to Sundance? It's like, no, I don't want to go to fucking Sundance. Why do I want to spend $6,000?
Right? And 10 days in the snow watching all...
To be cold, to watch some studio shit.
And not for nothing. No offense. And I mean this as no offense to every independent filmmaker who works hard, but almost every Sundance movie is the fucking same.
Right. It's like it's like you have an app, and it's just you press the Sundance movie template. Right?
Yo, because a Sundance movie won last year. I don't know if it actually played at Sundance, but it was a Sundance movie. Like, that is your prototypical Sundance movie.
What won last year? Coda. Oh, yeah. Coda. Yeah.
You see, everybody forgot about it. Like, I asked people, what won Best Picture last year? Everybody's like, can't tell you. I was like, yep. Knew that was coming. Knew that was coming as soon as it won.
Yeah. So Film Festival's a bullshit. But Neo Ned, oh, it is... It is peak cringe.
No, just the title.
Neo, like, they couldn't. Right?
Oh, shit. Oh, goddamn.
So, like.
What's this movie about?
I'm glad that whoever was responsible for hiding this movie was able to hide it so well. You know, I think Disney put the kibosh on it once they made him fucking Hawkeye. It's like, oh, we gotta scrub the internet of this shit.
Yeah.
So if you want a copy of Neo Ned, holler at me. I'm gonna have some screenings. Public. Neo fucking Ned. Even the name is fucking. Oh, shit. So moving on from that. on Hulu, there's this movie that you can catch. I Love My Dad. It's stars. Yo, nigga, listen. I've been into cringe cinema lately, dude.
Oh, shit.
Wait. No, this one's actually good.
That sounds like some wild, dangerous Pornhub shit.
Yeah. And you're not wrong.
I wonder what this is about.
Oh, fuck. All right. Wait. Let me shake it out. Shake it out.
Oh, shit.
Is it anything like Neo Ned?
I would love to run a video store just so one dude could come in and just rent both of those. And I'm just looking at this nigga like, keep them. Don't even bring them back. And don't ever step foot in my fucking video store again.
Oh, shit. So, all right. Wait, but like, This one's good. I Love My Dad. It stars Patton Oswalt, Lil Rel. It's about this estranged father, you know, of an adult son, and to try to reconnect with him because his son's got some mental issues and like he's awkward and shit like that. To try to reconnect with him, he catfishes him. So he creates a girlfriend for him, right?
Oh my god!
So he creates like this online presence for him. So he gets to know his son better, and his son gets to know him better while he's running these psyops, right? Catfishing his own son. It's good though.
Yo, can somebody please give me $500,000 to make a movie? God damn. Holy shit.
Yo, it's good though. It's good. It's hilarious. It's cringy as fuck. It's cringy as fuck, but it's hilarious.
Oh my god.
Oh shit. It's actually poignant. Fucking Rachel Dretch is in it, Rio from SNL. She plays Patton Oswalt's boss, but also his girlfriend, and she's dirty as shit, right? So there's this one scene where he's having phone, like where Patton Oswalt's having phone sex, like text, you know, sexting with Rachel Dretch, and he's then taking what she says and copying and pasting it to the thread that goes out to his son, right? So he's using his girlfriend to catfish sext his son because he doesn't know how to fucking do sexy time through sext. I'm not saying it's not cringy as fuck, but it's also hilarious and kind of poignant. But yeah, I love my dad on Hulu. If you're in the mood to feel better about your life and your decisions, watch that movie. Oh shit. Moving on from that. So last episode I talked about Christmas, Bloody Christmas, and how much I hate that fucking movie. And from that same camp, you know, because, you know, there's, you know, like those Georgia boys and those Texas dudes, they all kind of work together, right? Like on each other's films. There's a movie called The Leech, right? Directed by Eric, written and directed by Eric Penioff, who was one of the other people in the ABCs of Death 2.5 with me. Who directed M for Mariachi. This is the polar opposite of Christmas, Bloody Christmas, right? It is absolutely fucking amazing. Amazing low budget. I guess it's considered horror, but really it's more of a psychological thriller. It's about this priest who, on Christmas time, invites a homeless man to live at his house, right? Because, you know, that's what priests do. And the homeless dude is a scumbag, right? He's fucking drinking, smoking, doing cocaine and shit like that. He invites his pregnant girlfriend to then move in there, and all sorts of shit goes wild, right? It doesn't go where you think it's going to go. Cause you think like, all right, these two vagabonds are going to try to fucking kill the priest. It doesn't go that way. It doesn't go that way. And it gets real fucking dark and real fucking hilarious and funny, but also, oh, that was a burp, and tragic. So if you get a chance, check out The Leech. You can buy it on Amazon for like $4.99, but don't sue if you don't like it. Watch the trailer, and I think everything in the trailer is in the movie, so I don't want you to sue behind it. After that, I rewatched The Mist because I haven't seen that in years. That
movie fucking slaps. Which version do you prefer, the color version or the black and white version?
I prefer the black and white version, but I saw the color version. I had forgot, like, the special effects don't hold up at all, right? Some of them do. No. Yeah, some of them do, some of them don't, right? But just the tension and the acting in it is fucking amazing. You know, Andre Brower, Tom Jane, like, everyone else who's in it, everyone is doing their best work. And I think that's like, you know, that's a testament to Frank Darabont, you know, because they're acting against fucking non-existent Cthulhu monsters. But
right.
Everything about this movie hits, but it's that ending. It's that ending. Yeah. That, like, if you've not seen The Mist, watch The Mist. That ending, when I first saw it.
Don't let anybody spoil it for you either.
Yeah, like, it's, I think the movie's like 15, 20 years old. Don't let anyone ruin, if no one's ruined it for you by now, go and watch The Mist as soon as you're done listening to this. Actually, stop this program. We'll allow that. Go watch The Mist.
I'd like to give a shout out to Circuit City, because that was when DVDs were booming when I was working there.
Right.
And them shits were expensive. Shout out to you, because I boosted that shit.
I was
the Kingdom of Heaven director's cut. That was like a 4-disc set, and that shit was like $40. So I was like, oh, boosted.
Hey, look, if you want to fucking steal big. But yeah, that ending.
Sorry, Ridley.
that ending still fucking is affecting, right?
Yeah.
Like, even knowing it's going to happen, it's like, actually knowing it's going to happen makes it even worse.
Yeah.
So I saw it on HBO Max. So if you get a chance, watch The Mist. And then we're going to go to TV. I mentioned this a couple episodes ago, and it's finally back on. I Hate Susie, season 2. It's actually I Hate Susie 2, like, you know, as well. And I love this show. It is a hard fucking watch, though. Right. So the story of I Hate Susie is this actress who's pretty, you know, popular. She's got big things going on, who gets caught having an affair. Right. And it's how her life spirals out of control. Right. As opposed to the men in her life. So second season, she's trying to rebuild. And so she's having a custody battle with her ex, while she's now resigned to being on a dance show, because, you know, that is the fifth level of hell for actors and actresses, is when you end up on a dance show. So it's her trying to get her life back while doing this dance show. And I've only seen the first two episodes of it so far, but it's still as affecting and hilarious and offbeat as the first season. It reminds me of, like, it's got shades of I Will Destroy You.
Okay.
Right? As in, like, sometimes it's funny, but when it's devastating, it's absolutely fucking gut-punching.
Okay. And,
yeah, so it's like, you know, I Will Destroy You for the divorce set. And that's it for what have you watched lately? I'm gonna keep it real short and sweet.
Yeah, so I've been watching The Best Man, The Final Chapters. Like I said, the first Black Man is a cornerstone in Black cinema. Like, Black people love that first movie. It's okay, right? Second movie I really like. That was fucking years later. Like, years. I think 13 years later, that second movie. Universal greenlit the third movie after the opening weekend because it overperformed. It made its budget back that opening weekend.
Right, right.
And I remember going to AMC and seeing that movie opening night. And that was one of the best experiences I've had with a Black audience.
Well, because that
was the perfect amount of hood that didn't interrupt the viewing experience.
Right. Like, some movies, like, a little hoodness, a little, like, fun, a little audience participation.
Right.
It works.
Also, the second movie was miles better than the first movie.
I've never seen any of these, so.
Nigga. So here we are with The Best Man, the Final Chapters. They made this third movie into a miniseries, and obviously The Final Chapters, yeah, this is fucking it, because it's been 9 years since the second movie. And also, these motherfuckers are in their 50s, 60s. They, like, you want to wait another fucking 10 years to make a fourth one?
All right. I mean, they can't be doing fucking fuckboy shit you know, at 65.
So, yeah, they, yo, listen, it's nice watching a affluent black people keep it 100. You know what I'm saying? Like, they call each other nigga. They eating edibles and shit, doing ayahuasca. Like, they straight up look at it. They give you, you know, they do, the, you know, the black side eye. Like, nigga, right. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, Terrence Howard, like, he put them edibles on the table. Harold Perrine was like, I got us edibles. And Terrence Howard turned to Harold Perrine. He's like, nigga, I don't do that shit. He's like, nigga, I'm fucking getting married, nigga. Fuck. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, these niggas same nigga more than me.
I don't do edibles, man.
Yeah, yo. Also, this is going to be Terrence Howard's last role because he's retiring.
What do you mean he's retiring?
He said he's retiring.
All right, we'll see. We'll see.
Yo, listen, I'm going to be real with you. This is the most I've seen Terrence Howard or any of these motherfuckers invested in a long time. Like, I was just like, not only did everybody come back, which is astonishing to me that these cats agreed to do a TV show, right, even though it's a miniseries, right? It's still a TV show. They care, man. Like, everybody showed up to play, and it's shot like a movie. It looks like a movie. It feels like a movie. And honestly, I was like, maybe after the first movie, this should have been a show from the get-go, because I'm having a lot more fun watching this as a show, because there's more room for these characters to breathe and do all types of fuck shit.
How many episodes?
And just wild out.
How many episodes is it supposed to be?
8.
Okay. All right. Not bad.
Yeah. So I'm going to finish it up because I only got to watch the first 2 episodes, but like, oh man, this is, oh, I like it so far, baby. Woo-wee. I missed y'all.
All right. Now, do I have to watch the first 2 to enjoy this?
You could watch a YouTube recap of the first movie.
Okay.
Watch the second movie, because the second movie is actually good.
All right.
And then watch this. Watch this shit.
Okay. All right.
Like, it's raunchy, too. I was like, oh, word. Y'all really, it's for adults. I'll say that much. It's like,
what's this
not
on?
Not let your kids watch this.
What's this on?
It's on the cock.
Oh, it's on Peacock. It's on the cack.
It's on the cack.
It's on the cack.
Yeah, all 3. Best man holiday, and now this.
Well, I got to use my 99-cent a month subscription.
Yeah, I've just paid the $20 for a year. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. And you know what? I will not be renewing this shit. I'll tell you that much. Moving on, because I didn't get to watch much, I revisited A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
Because it was Christmas time, and I was feeling some nostalgic, and I like watching this movie. Like, I'll watch it anytime. It's this time of the year. You watch it during Halloween, you watch it during Christmas. I love this fucking movie. Fuck you.
Like, it's a great movie, The Nightmare Before Christmas. Like, it's been co-opted too much by Hot Topic, and fucking just it's the goth version of Barbie, but like, on its own, it's a great movie.
They recently did a live version of it, and it was Danny Elfman played Jack Skeleton, and they got Phoebe Bridgers to play Sally. And you know, Phoebe Bridgers is a cute girl. Right. I was like, yeah, she's cute in a plain way. You know what I mean?
Wait.
I saw her dressed as Sally, and I was just like, oh, that does it for me.
What was this? What was this on?
It was in L.A. They did it recently in like October or September of last year.
Okay,
to 2022.
To the internet. Let me check this out. Why you talk more about it?
So I'm gonna move on, because I mean, you've heard me talk ad nauseum about this shit before. So I'm gonna move on to the last thing I'm gonna talk about, which is Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm watching Curb Your Enthusiasm just because I want to rewatch the earlier episodes, and just because I don't trust HBO Max anymore. Y'all killed my trust on shit, honestly.
I mean,
man, oh man, oh man. Revisiting these older episodes, I was just like, "Ooh, Curb still pushes buttons today, but damn, I was like, damn, Larry, like, I thought, like, there's points in this where I'm like, yo, is Larry autistic? Does he has Asperger's or some shit? Because he'll just blurt shit out. And I'm just like, even I'm just like, oh, bro.
Like
the affirmative action episode where he's talking to Richard Lewis's lawyer. And he's just like, oh, yeah, you became a lawyer because you're black. And he's like, what? He's like, yeah, affirmative action. And he's just, and you see the look on Richard Lewis's face like, what the fuck?
Like, see, this is more cringe cinema. This is more cringe shit. Like, this is, I love this shit. Larry's the king of that.
The fucking the acupuncture episode. Oh man, that shit's hilarious. Doug Benson's in that shit.
All right, like there's so many great Curbed episodes. One of my favorite is with the. Where he's going to the Dodgers game and he gets a prostitute so he can get in the hub lane.
Yeah.
See, that's like.
I love how Larry's schemes always backfire. Always.
He never wins. He can never, like, but he doesn't. He never wins, but he doesn't really lose either. Right?
What's funny, though, is these earlier episodes, all the problems stem from Cheryl. And Cheryl's right there, and everybody sees she's the cause of the problem, but everybody still blames Larry. And now that's what I love in these later episodes is like, yo, Leon is just black Larry, except just a little less Larry, and that's all it takes.
Right.
And Leon usually causes the problems, but everybody blames Larry.
But here's the thing. Leon rarely loses, though.
Also, Leon knows when to stop, though. You know what I'm saying? That's Larry's problem. Larry doesn't know when to stop. Sometimes there's just shit where I'm just like, I'm going to drop it because why? Why cause more problems? This nigga just, you know, he don't know when to stop.
So what season are you on now?
My favorite episode is a more recent episode. It's Palestinian Chicken. That episode from beginning to end cracks me up.
Wait, is that the one where he's fucking the chick who runs the restaurant?
Yes, right? yes.
And she called him all sorts of dirty Jews and all sorts of in bed. Yeah.
Yes. That's my all time favorite episode.
Yeah, that it's because it's so fucking wrong.
It's like the whole entire episode, even when Jeff's daughter curses him out. On the golf course, like that shit has me dying every time.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch Curbed.
Yeah, I watched all of season three. I watched half of season four, and I got to an episode of season four where I was like, "Oh man, this is too painful for me." So I went back to season two, started watching season two, and then I got to a point in season two where I'm just like. Oh man, this is too painful. Went back to season one, watched a few episodes of season one, and got to the affirmative action episode. I was just like, oh.
I'm telling you, man, cringe cinema, dude. Sometimes you need that shit.
Yo, I'm so glad this show's coming back though this year.
Yeah, like of all of the shows that are on the Purge. Right, I think Curbed is safe just because it's probably so cheap to shoot. Cheap,
yeah.
You know?
And it's too critically acclaimed, also. And people, every time a new episode airs, it trends. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yo, because Larry David recently came out. He's like, as long as I keep making this, all I know is Jeff Garland will still be a part of it, and I'm never getting rid of Leon. He's like, those are the two that I can't just get rid of.
Right. I would love to see Larry David do a rehearsal.
Yeah.
Yo, that's some meta on top of meta shit.
I will say this. If Curb ever does really end, I hope Leon gets a spinoff.
I could see that. I could see Leon going on. I'm surprised Leon doesn't have a spinoff already.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. Yo, because the first episode of it was either last season or season before. It was like the very first episode. Like the first minute of that shit had me dying, where Leon and Larry are walking down the street having a conversation and they're just bumping into people, knocking people down. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I think I want more. Like, they should experiment this season with just Leon episodes, like sort of like a standalone Leon episode. See how that works out.
Yo, remember last season with the watermelon?
Like, we've had conversations about this, man. There's certain foods I won't eat out in public. Like, I don't eat fried chicken around white people. I don't eat watermelon around white people. Watermelon and fried chicken is delicious, but I can't. Mm-mm.
Oh, man. Bomb for the soul until it's not bomb. Curb your enthusiasm. All right. Let's move into trailer talk.
Roll camera and action.
It's time for some trailer talk.
All right. So both the trailers we're going to talk about are for HBO properties. So, I mean, I'm excited for them.
White House Plumbers. Let's start there.
Yeah, but like, I don't know.
It's a miniseries.
I don't know if it'll make it. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, it's a miniseries. So, I mean, if it airs and it gets pulled, well, at least they got to tell their story.
Right. White House Plumbers, it's the story of, you know, the Watergate burglaries. Yeah, and it looks hilarious. It looks
hilarious.
Yeah.
The cast is stacked. Like, it has Woody Harrelson, Justin Theroux.
And I think
John Goodman's in this motherfucker.
He probably is. I don't think I remember seeing him in the trailer, but he probably is. But here's the thing. Nothing prepared me in life watching Cheers to think that Woody Harrelson would be a great actor, right? Like, when he first came on the scene in Cheers, I remember like seeing him like, all right, who's this goofy motherfucker, right? And now he's like a go-to. Like, if I know Woody Harrelson's going to be in a movie or a TV show, I'm there 100%.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was in the last season of Curb. That shit was hilarious too.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, the fucking.
Yo, Larry could have been like a billionaire, and he just fucking stumbles over his own feet every time. Right when he gets to the pinnacle of success,
when he gets to the finish line, he fucks this shit up for himself. Oh shit! The White House Plumbers. It looks good. Like, very rarely does HBO put out something that's not fucking fantastic. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially when these miniseries or these movies or shit like that. Even like the worst HBO original is still better than most of the hype shit on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's move into our last trailer. Another, as Jeff said, another HBO original. Season 2 of Perry Mason. And my man's got his hands full to the point where now even his associates are like, hey, you're not ready for this case. I'm like, damn, y'all motherfuckers got to get paid too. And like, he's saying, let's not take this case. The fuck's wrong with y'all?
Because no one has faith in Perry Mason, even though he's he's always the smartest dude in the room. But like, they still don't believe in him. I watching this trailer, it made me remember how much I love season 1, right? And we don't
season 1 was good. I didn't love it, but this looks better.
Yeah, like, we don't talk about Perry Mason enough though, like how he kind of came out of nowhere,
because it was Perry Mason the origin story,
right. But like, it started off with like a fucking baby murder, you know? Yeah. Like, that's how they come and out the
snowballed
gate,
snowballed into a whole conspiracy,
right? You know, so like, I really, really enjoyed the first season, so I'm already sold on the second, because it's just going to up the fucking ante.
All right. It looks better. All the characters are in place, so we don't have to do any more dumbass origin shit.
Right.
I hope the case is better, because I was a little underwhelmed by the case, to be honest with you.
Well, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. But like... Yeah, we'll see, but it looks good. Everything, like, both of these things are dropping in March, so March looks to be like the month
Yeah.
For like hot shit, like in movies and TV.
Yeah, which is weird. You should start dropping this shit like right now in January, February, because we're going to be holed up because, you know, nobody wants to go out.
Right.
Fucking
right.
Cold. All right. So let's move into our main review.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for, the Film Blurbs feature film review.
All right. Full disclosure, most of this is going to be Brandon's review with me peppering stuff in because I had to leave halfway through my screening because I got the quadruple pandemic, whatever like that. I definitely had the flu, so I had to bust out of there because things weren't looking up.
It's wild to me. People are like, how have you not gotten sick in the past 2 years? I was like, nigga, this is a reason why I wear my mask everywhere. Like, I haven't been sick in 2 years because I keep wearing that shit.
Right, right, right. So main review is Megan a worthy entry?
I didn't even really.
Go ahead.
What's that?
I was going to say a worthy entry into the killer fucking robot toy genre.
I didn't even realize until after I saw it and went home that this was PG-13. I thought this shit was rated R.
Word?
Yeah.
Oh, they trying to franchise this shit.
I mean, by everybody's reaction, probably. I mean, you know, this probably costs nothing really to make, and it's going to make its money back.
Right.
Because the only thing, other thing people are going to go keep seeing is Avatar, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be Avatar in this.
All right. So let's.
Sorry, Babylon. Yo. 3-hour R-rated movie about Hollywood.
So people keep
on. Real quick, that costs $80 million, dog.
What, Babylon?
Yeah.
Really? They did all that for $80 million?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. I mean,
yeah, that's good use of money, but that's still, I was just like, y'all ain't seeing that $80 million. I'll tell you that much.
So, like, people keep on asking me, like, Jeff, how was Babylon? Should I go see Babylon? I'm like, you shouldn't watch Babylon. Like, maybe him, but you shouldn't.
If you're a cinephile, sure. And even then, that comes as like a small recommendation because you're a cinephile. Right. But like normal people, ooh boy.
Yeah, like I told all my normal people, like friends, wait for it to come out on HBO or whatever like that in a month or two, whenever it drops, because you're gonna be mad sitting in that theater for 3.5 hours after that first hour and a half.
Well, it's 3, not 3.5. You're thinking of Avatar. You're getting Avatar mixed up.
No, no, no. After that first hour and a half.
Oh, I thought you said 3.5.
No, no, no. Or 3.5. Like, it might as well be 3.5. It feels like 4.
But anyways, back to Megan. Look, I went into this and, you know, I saw the trailer and I didn't expect much. I was like, okay, this, at worst, it'll be fun.
Right.
And
this
turned out to be, and I was like, my thought is, because I saw this before Avatar, they screened this a whole month and some change ahead of time. And I was like, all right, guys, I guess y'all are confident in it. And then once the movie was done, I was like, oh, yeah, all right. Now I see why y'all like it, because it's an hour and a half without end credits. With end credits, it's like an hour 40. So it gets to the point. It's short and sweet, gets you in and out, gives you just enough to care about your main characters, which is this little girl and what's her name?
From Girls, Williams.
Yeah.
And from Get Out, what was the fucking name? Give me a second. Go ahead and talk. I'll find it.
Those two, they do just enough heavy lifting to get you invested in these two characters. And look, you can tell from the jump that Miss Williams is fucking up, where you're just like, yo, you need to be a little more. Yeah, Allison Williams. Yeah. Okay. You're just like, yo, listen, spend some time with this kid. Your sister just died. Like, how are you not upset that your sister just died? And she's just taking in this kid like, here's a ball, kid. Roll the ball around. and just pats her on the head and just like, sorry about your mom. Sorry about my sister.
There.
Yeah.
I've got to get to back to work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I was just like, oh, wow. All right. I was like, shit. So to be a surrogate and help her deal with her grief, bad idea number one, she builds an AI robot doll.
Yeah. And that never works out. In history of cinema, that has never worked out. Whereas, like, I was thinking of, remember that the 80s slasher Best Friend?
Yeah.
Yeah, it gave me Best Friend vibes.
what can I say? The Megan gets, because the AI in Megan is so advanced, Megan gets a little too attached to this little girl. And, well, this is what happens when you're a negligent ass fucking guardian. You know what I mean? Shit. AI is smarter than humans almost 90% of the time.
Right. But it's our ability to navigate emotions that put us at the top of the food chain sometimes.
I feel like the whole time watching it, I felt like a Jamaican mother just like, are you sure you wanted to do that? Look at this house. You giving her that from breakfast?
On some Trini to the bone shit.
Sucking my teeth like, look at that. You wearing that to work?
Oh, can that be a new character for you? The Jamaican mother?
Yeah, Megan, it does, like I said, it does just enough heavy lifting before it gets, and it escalates. That's the perfect thing about this movie. It escalates every scene by scene.
Right.
Just enough. And it knows what it is. That's also what's great. It knows what it is. So it has a humorous tone throughout. And the humor is fucking funny.
And like, here's the thing that a lot of these movies fail to realize is know your lane, right?
Yeah.
Know what you are. Like, it's a movie about a killer doll robot, right? It's like, because in the hands of anyone else, right, they would have taken it super seriously and everything like that, right?
You know whose version of this I would like to see?
Whose version of this would you like to see?
Zack Snyder's.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Which version? The 8-hour version? Where we get,
you know what this would be? Uber dark, uber serious. He's like, I'm making a real movie, bro.
Right. Fucking Megan develops a fucking drug habit to like motor oil or some shit like that. She's freebasing motor oil.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's what makes this movie great. It takes itself seriously enough. It understands what it is, and like I said, it is funny. It walks that tightrope of being funny and scary at the same time. Right. Like it gives you thrills and chills, but gives you laughs at the same time too.
And here's the thing, like Child's Play did that in the first one, right? And then it just went totally full camp, right?
I think Child's Play took itself a little too seriously, the first one.
Yeah,
and then the second one is, to me, my favorite, because that's the one where it really started taking the piss out of itself.
That's the military school one, right?
That's the third one.
Okay. What was the second one? I can forget the second one.
Second one, I think, took place in like a toy store or some shit like that. I can't really remember.
All right.
But yeah, the first one was like in an apartment. It was sort of like this, except, I don't really fuck with the first Child's Play. And a lot of, if you talk to Chucky fans, a lot of Chucky fans prefer the sequels over the originals.
Like, I haven't seen the original in fucking forever, but I remember enjoying the sequel more than the sequels. But the sequels, like, it got progressively more and more campy, and the more campy it got, the less I liked it, Right? Nah, because I wanted it to be fucking scary. You know?
It's a killer doll, man. I mean, they understand. Like, come on.
Right. No, I get where you're coming from, but like, I want you to not take yourself so seriously, but I don't want you to be self-referential.
All right. So, yeah, they don't do that in Megan. Right. Like, Megan, because Megan still has heart to it. Like, there's scenes in it where it's just like, it is emotionally effective for what it's trying to do. Like, it's not going to get you to cry or shit like that. But like,
it'll get you to say aw. It'll say aw.
Yeah. So, look, there's not a part of this I actively hated. Right.
Right.
I thought this was a fun, good time. This is not going to change your world. But this, if you're going to go see this, go see it in the theater. Cause you know, the whole audience is going to be into this.
Right. And that, like we've been talking about, sometimes it's about more about the experience than the movie. Right. So like the experience of watching this and laughing and like gasping with an audience with a whole bunch of other people is going to be better than just, you know, the experience is going to be better than the movie alone.
Yeah. Look, it's telling when a movie like this is shown to critics super early.
Right.
And I was just like, yo, I had a, cause they asked me, they're like, did you like it? I was like, yeah, I liked it. I was better than I expected. It's a lot of fun. I would not be surprised if this was successful enough for a franchise. You know what I mean? Like if this becomes a franchise, I'm not mad at that.
Yeah. And like, you know, this and Violent Night, I think we're getting back to us having fun at the movie theaters.
Yes.
You know,
because they take themselves just seriously enough, but they understand what they are and they have fun with themselves and they can make jokes at their expense that don't drag the movie down. Right.
Right. It's not like they're not winking at the audience.
Yeah, yeah, or treating you stupid either. Right. Like, it was never a point in this movie where, well, there's a couple of points where I'm like, oh, why, maybe one or two points where I was like, why did this character do that? But it wasn't to the point where it pissed me off, actively pissed me off.
Right. There's a difference between why did this person do this and like, oh, wow, that doesn't make sense in any kind of world.
Where it's just fucking dumb, where you're just like, oh, nobody would do that.
Right.
So. Yeah. Go see it, Megan. It's a good time. Like it's fun. You'll get some scares, and you know, look, you'll get a lot of laughs. And you could do it for a movie that's coming out in January because it comes out Friday. You could do a lot worse. I can't believe they're putting this out in January. I'm like, this is not a January movie, dog.
Yeah, and honestly, it's an hour and a half. Like, we've gotten so many epics and 2.5 hour movies that are like a nice breezy hour and a half movie. You can enjoy your life on either side of that without giving up a day. It's kind of worth it just for that.
I mean, and this is what makes this movie great. You could go by yourself, have a good time with the audience. You could go with this on a date night and you guys can enjoy this. You could go with friends, enjoy this. You know what I mean? Like, It works with any type of audience, honestly. It's that type of horror movie. It's not, it's horror. It's mass audience horror. And sometimes mass audience horror works. And this is a mass, because, you know, there's some people who don't like horror movies just because they're too scary. But if you don't like horror movies and you get scared easily, you could go see this because it's not that bad.
It's light and it's PG-13.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I'm surprised it's PG-13, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, they're pushing the envelope. Let's see, like, I'm looking up who Gerard Johnston, what has he directed? Oh, Housebound. All right. I liked Housebound.
Okay. Well, there you go. I've never seen Housebound.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, it's got a pretty good pedigree. Let's see who the writer is. I mean, story by James Wan. But Alexa,
I mean, it's coming out under his production company, Atomic Monster.
Right.
I think this is a Blumhouse movie, too.
I think so. Let's see. What's this writer? Strange New Worlds. Malignant, Jupiter's Legacy, Hellfest. All right, well, you know, some of the talent involved is good.
So, yeah, I was surprised because I looked up Akila Cooper because she's the screenwriter.
Right.
And I looked up her her credentials. I was just like, oh, okay, so this is like her first hitter.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, Strange New Worlds, she did two episodes. I got to check out which two episodes, but I love that series. Malignant is...
You either love that movie or you hate it.
Right, either you get it or you don't get it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Look, again, I recommend it just because, again, this is a good time at the movies. I mean, there's only so many times you want to go see Avatar. So if you want a break and just get like a nice little comedic horror movie, this is it, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I said, for a January movie, this has no reason being this good for a January movie.
Right. You don't get anything in January, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
From like I said, I was dying when I saw it, and I only stayed for the first, you know, half, if that. I can't wait to actually see this again because what I did see, I was feeling it. I was vibing with it.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I'm not mad if this becomes a franchise, right? Right. Like, look, we've gotten much worse. I could say that much.
Yeah.
So, Megan, go see it. High, like, that comes with a high recommendation for me.
All right, there we go. Megan.
All right. It's episode 71.
Peace.
We're the Film Blurred.
I'm Brandon Nord, and I'm the motherfucking protagonist.
I'm the protagonist.
I'm Jeff Stewart, a.k.a. He Who Remains.
Don't come at us. It's just fucking movies.
You've been listening to the Film Blurs podcast.
Man, I just love what you guys do, man.
I never miss an episode. It's the best.
It's my favorite podcast.
Follow Jeff on IG on MindFireXL and Brandon on Twitter at BJNTweets.